The sermon I'm doing a first part. Is titled "The Right Battle, Part One." Okay, Right Battle, Part One. And the main text for this series is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms. And God's people said, amen. You know, this passage gives an instruction of how to fight the right battle, the right battle, not the wrong battle, not the battle with each other, but to fight the right battle. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting one another or human beings. But this passage is saying there is a spiritual kingdom, evil spirit in this spiritual realm. It talks about this kingdom of darkness. And this spiritual force of evil, this passage says, is in the heavenly realm. It's in the heavenly realm. And we need to know how to fight that battle in the heavenly realm. And heavenly realm for a non-Christian, it's very difficult to fight because you cannot see it. We cannot see it. It is an unseen realm. It's a spiritual realm. And as a Christian, you need to know how to operate in the spiritual realm, in this heavenly realm. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, because this is what Paul said, because Paul couldn't address the Corinthian church as spiritual people, because he couldn't talk to them as spiritual, he says they are worldly and they are infants in Christ. They are spiritually immature, So learning how to fight the spiritual battle, to operate in the spiritual realm, if you do not know how to do that, you will be spiritually immature. It's not about the emotionalism. It's not about screaming at the demons. It's about spiritual maturity. You know, and over a couple of decades, my personal experience is that the spiritual realm has become more and more real to me. You know, the first season of my Christian life, it was about overcoming in the physical. The last few decades, what has become important to me is overcoming in the spiritual, you know, the United States in the Vietnam War, United States had superior power, had command of the air, the sea. The United States troops were better equipped and better armed. But the United States, you know, U.S. couldn't win that war. We couldn't win that war. And there are many complicated reasons why U.S. couldn't win the Vietnam War. But one of the reasons, one of the reasons is the U.S. didn't know how to fight the guerrilla warfare. Did not know how to fight the guerrilla warfare. What is a guerrilla warfare? This war was not head-on confrontation, but a lot of the battle was hidden skirmishes. Spiritual battle, some Christians see it as when you see manifestation during deliverance ministry, you know, people screaming, people coughing, throwing up, and speaking in demonic voices. That's spiritual battle. No. In the spiritual realm, the demonic does not operate that way. The most important spiritual battle happens in the hidden skirmishes. And today what I want to talk about is one territory that's hidden is the internal battle that we all go through. Okay, this is what I want to talk about today. The internal battle. This is part one. David asked God in Psalm 51, verse 10, to renew a right spirit within me. See, David understood that there was a battle that was going on inside of him, right, that he could not see. And it says, renew a right spirit. That word spirit is in this verse is not referring to the Holy Spirit, but David was talking about his spirit, okay? Meaning something within him, it was internal spirit. And what happened, spiritual battle happens inside of you. It happens inside of you. There is a spiritual attack on your thought, on your emotion, on your will. There's a spiritual attack on your soul. Why? Because spiritual battle is a battle for your soul. It's a battle for your soul. David was asking God to be the one that influences his soul. Because if God is the one who you connect to, God is the one who will influence your soul. And when God influences what's going on inside of you, there is life. And you will win the spiritual battle. But if you are influenced by demonic spirit, there's a battle that's going on and you're clueless to the hidden skirmishes that's going on inside of you, you will lose the spiritual battle. You will lose the spiritual battle. And in the gospel, the very people that should have been influenced by God was being influenced by evil spirit. And this is like a warning to us. I believe that, you know, the Bible is giving a warning to people who go to church. Right? See, the Pharisee in the time of Jesus was influenced by wrong spirits. Right? It was not the Holy Spirit, but demonic spirit disguised as light. On the outside, when you looked at the Pharisee, they looked very legitimate. It seemed like it was real spirituality. It seemed like they loved the word of God. They looked righteous. They looked like they were spiritually mature. It seemed like the Pharisees were close to God, that they knew God, that they had a deep relationship with God. But then if you look at Matthew 23, Jesus shines a light on the Pharisees' heart. Okay? What he says is, they preach, but they do not practice what they preach. Instead of setting the captive free, they tie up heavy burdens for other people. They put heavy emphasis on their own image, how they look, how other people see them. Meaning they care more about pleasing people than pleasing God. Their position in the synagogue, in the religious organization, it was a positional leadership instead of real leadership. Because Jesus says, for you, it is all about title. All you want to hear from other people is that they call you rabbis, you know? And you see that kind of happening in the modern world, people calling themselves apostles and bishops. They care so much about that title. Not everybody, but I see that happening, you know. And Jesus says about the Pharisee, you shut the door to the kingdom of heaven to other people, and they themselves will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus calls them blind fools, blind guides. They were clueless about the heavenly realm, the spiritual battle that they were facing. There was this intense, eternal spiritual battle that was going on in their heart, inside of them, and they were blind to it. They were clueless to it. Jesus calls them serpents and vipers. And remember, a serpent in the garden represented the devil. They were being influenced by the devil, but it was hidden to them. Jesus says they care about what was on the outside of the cup, how it looks on the outside. They care that outside of the cup was clean, but they did not care what was going on inside of the cup. They did not care about the internal battle, spiritual battle that they were facing. They did not care. They did not see. They could not discern. But here's the problem. If the Pharisees were blind to spiritual battle, you and me, it will be very easy for us to be blind to it too. What I realize about spiritual battle is this, that I can easily discern when someone else is under spiritual attack, but when I am personally going through it, it is more difficult to discern. The Bible says the enemy shoots not spears, you know, but darts, you know. Darts are very hard to see, harder to know when it's coming at you. The way I get support for this is because I look at the prostitute and the tax collector that Jesus ministered to. Jesus didn't say to the prostitute and tax collector that he was ministering to that you are blind. Okay. That you are blind to the spiritual battle that's in your heart. Yeah. People around them, though, when they looked at the tax collector and the prostitute, they would judge them that they had the wrong spirit, that they were losing the spiritual battle, that they are in bondage, that they are being influenced by the devil. People around them, that's what they would say. But when they looked at the Pharisee, that they are okay. So I was thinking, what would be the difference between the Pharisee versus the prostitute and the tax collector? Because Jesus treat both of them differently. What are the difference? And I was just thinking about that. And this is what I believe the difference was. If you went to the prostitute and the tax collector that Jesus ministered to, Jesus would ask them, you know that you are broken. And their response would be, Jesus, yes, I am broken. Jesus would, you know, ask, you tell them, you are being spiritually attacked. And the prostitute and the tax collector that he was ministering to would say, yes, God, I am under tremendous spiritual attack. Jesus will tell them, you're fighting the wrong battle. You know what their response will be to Jesus? I know, Jesus, please help me. Jesus would tell them, I am the Messiah and I will deliver you. Their response would be, yes, Jesus, I need you. I need your help. Please deliver me. Jesus will say to them, come to me and I will heal you. Their response would be, yes, Jesus, you are my healer. Jesus will tell them, receive my forgiveness. And they will say, yes, Jesus, let me clean you. They will respond, yes, Jesus. Jesus will give them this promise, I will give you new life. And their response will be, yes, my Lord. But the Pharisee was different. Jesus will come to them, you are broken. Their response was, no, I'm not. I'm better than you. Jesus will say to them, you're fighting the wrong battle. A Pharisee will say, how dare you say that to me, Jesus? I know better than you. I went to seminary. I read all the commentaries. Jesus will tell them, clean the inside of the cup. And they will respond with offense. They will carry offense in their heart. So much offense in their heart, eventually the very person that could help them, Jesus, they plotted to kill him. Where do I get that? In the Bible? I want you to, you know, open the Bible to Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus told a story to some people who were sure that they were right with God. That, you know, they thought they were fighting the right battle. They looked down on everyone else. He said to them, Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people." He said, "I am not like robbers or those who do other evil things. I am not like those who commit adultery. I am not even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood further away than the Pharisee. He would not even look up to heaven. He brought his hand to his heart and prayed. He said, "God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner." This is what Jesus says. "I tell you, the tax collector went home accepted by God, but not the Pharisee. All those who lift themselves up will be made humble, and those who make themselves humble will be lifted up." I'm going to continue the sermon, but I thought this is a time, this is a good place to just check our heart. I want us to check our heart. We all need to do that. I need to do that. We need to do that as a church. Don't look at what others are doing and what others are not doing. Don't look at your good works. Ask the Holy Spirit. Pray Psalm 139 over your heart. It says this: "Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting." Lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray that over our heart. Take a moment to do that. Pray Psalm 139 over your heart, over your soul, over your thoughts, over your emotion. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in that way everlasting." Sometimes when we are so angry at somebody else, it's hard to see what's going on in our own heart. Release that anger to the Lord. Release it. Sometimes we are judging other people so much, it's hard to see what's going on in our heart. Sometimes we complain so much. The things in our inside of us, the eternal battles hidden to us, we're blind to it. Let those things go. Let those things go. Give it to the Lord. There's a hidden skirmish going on inside of us. Let's learn how to fight that hidden skirmish, meaning let's learn how to fight the spiritual battle. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Search us. Show us, Lord. Not the sins of others around us. We don't want to play the judge, the executioner. Right now, like the tax collector, Lord, we humble ourselves when we put our hands to our heart and pray. For search our heart, O God. Show us. I don't know, whatever the Holy Spirit showed you, you know, write it down somewhere or something. Keep it in your, you know, just your heart. Don't forget it. And let's commit it to the Lord to fight that spirit, that battle to overcome. And there's a passage I want to encourage you about because you see, when, like the tax collector, if you understand that, you know, the internal battle, you get humbled. And you get humbled and you don't get proud, you get humbled. And the next step is you repent. And the next step is God redeems us. God sets us free. And this is what we're going to proclaim, you know, Psalm 23, verse 1, even though I walk through the darkest valley. You know, what is the darkest valley? The internal battle that you're going through. The darkest valley. What is, and we ask the Holy Spirit, what is that darkest valley? We're identifying it. We're discerning it. We're recognizing it. The darkest valley. The internal battle that we're going through. And this psalmist, David, said, you know, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Yeah? That bondage, that sin, that shame that's in my heart, that darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Let's not point fingers, you know, other people's darkest valley. Let's focus on our own. It's our heart. And in our heart, there's brokenness, there's confusion. When there's confusion, you're going to a spiritual battle. There's accusation. When there's accusation, there's hidden skirmish going on inside of you. There's condemnation. There's guilt. There's shame. If that's what the Holy Spirit reveals in your heart, that means there's hidden skirmishes going on in your heart. There's a spiritual battle going on in your heart. The best of the Pharisee could do, they just clean the outside of the cup. Yeah. So start proclaiming, you know, I will not be afraid. The reason it's hidden is because we're afraid of it. We're afraid that we'll be found out. But I want to remind you, God knows all things and He didn't punish you. Right? We're so afraid that we'll be found out, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God is with me. And start proclaiming this, whatever the hidden valley, the hidden things of your heart that the Holy Spirit showed you, let's proclaim. I will not listen to the lies anymore. Proclaim that. I'm not going to listen to the lies anymore. That voice that lies to me, that voice that accuses me, that voice that demeans me, just start proclaiming, I will not listen to those voices anymore. I'm going to reject that voice. There is a voice that's so familiar to you now. It's the same accusation. It points to the same mistake over and over again. The same shame, the same rejection over and over again. But when you say, I will not be afraid because God is with me, you're saying, I'm going to push back now in the internal battle that I'm going to. I'm going to fight back. I'm going to take up the armor. I'm going to take up arms. And I'm going to fight back with this belief. I will overcome because God is with me. I will overcome. Let's take a time to proclaim that. Do a battle cry and the internal battle that you're going to. Though I walk in the darkest valley, I will not fear you anymore. I will not fear the darkness, for God is with me. I will not be afraid because God is with me. Their power is gone. Their protection is gone. We will overcome them. We will win. I will win. Make it personal. I will proclaim it. I will win because God is with me. Because God is with me, their power is gone. Their protection is gone. And let's proclaim this as a church. God is not leading me into this dark valley to fail, to lose. But proclaim as a church, God leads me into this darkest valley to overcome, to be set free, to be healed, to win the spiritual battle. You gotta go into the spiritual battle believing that you're gonna win. That's what David the boy did when he faced Goliath. That's what the nation of Israel did every time they faced an enemy, when they believed, because God was with them, they believed that they're gonna win. And when they actually fought the battle, they won. We will win. I'm gonna win this battle. Yes, God. As the Holy Spirit leads you, just proclaim, pray, and intercede for victory. Okay, Jeff, can you get ready to lead us into worship? Angie? Just as a church, what made the Pharisee not see was the pride, was the judgments that they carried, the bitterness. Lord, cleanse the whole church of that, Lord. One thing about humility is not about insecurity and thinking that you're worthless. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus was humble, is humble. Humility just opens our heart to the work of God. It takes the blindness away from our eyes. Pride, blinds us, but humility takes the blindness away from our spiritual eyes. This is a very difficult prayer, but let's do it together as a church. God, humble us as a church. Ask the Lord as a church, humble us, oh God. Keep us humble, Lord.